This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Good evening and welcome to Africa News Tonight from the English to Africa service of the Voice of America, your source for Pan-African news and world developments. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington.
And I'm Yehiz Wuhib. Coming up this hour on Africa News Tonight,
the International Organization for Migration reports Yemeni authorities are...
That's Lisa Schlein reporting from IOM headquarters in Geneva. Details next.
Also, the military has no role to play in who will succeed Robert Mugabe as the next president, according to the head of the country's army. And in Cameroon, there have been violent confrontations between police and striking lawyers.
We'll have these stories and lots more ahead on African News Tonight.
Our top story this hour, the International Organization for Migration reports Yemeni authorities are deporting hundreds of migrants from the Horn of Africa to Djibouti under deplorable conditions. Lisa Schlein reports from IOM headquarters in Geneva.
The International Organization for Migration does not assist governments in the forcible deportation of migrants. But spokesman Itai Viriri says the IOM is a humanitarian organization and as such cannot turn a blind eye to the desperation of people who have been expelled from a country such as Yemen and are in need of assistance. Viriri tells VOA Yemeni authorities are forcibly deporting migrants, mainly from Ethiopia, who have been languishing in detention in substandard conditions with little food, water, and medical care. He says a boatload of 82 Ethiopian migrants was unceremoniously dropped off last week in a small coastal town about 30 kilometers from Obok in Djibouti.
People are in really desperate situation. I mean, they're left out in the open. And what we are seeing, I mean, the condition of the migrants who were deported, they certainly were in a very bad condition, dehydrated, without enough to eat. Barely enough clothes on their backs.
Viriri says Djiboutian authorities confirm at least 24 migrants have died in recent weeks due to deportation conditions. In a separate operation, the IOM has taken advantage of a lull in the fighting in Yemen to resume the voluntary return of thousands of stranded Ethiopians and Somalis to their home countries. This long-term operation was temporarily suspended due to airstrikes and ground fights in Yemen. Viriri says 150 migrants, including 118 unaccompanied minors and 31 women, were evacuated from the city of Hodeidah in western Yemen aboard an IOM-chartered boat which arrived Friday in Djibouti. He says there are plans to evacuate another 600 Ethiopians from Hodeidah at a rate of 150 people every 4 days from now until the end of December. Additionally, he says the IOM aims to help 2,500 Somalis stranded in Yemen's southern port city of Aden return home by boat and plane. The next evacuation from Aden to Somalia, he says, should take place in early December. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Since winning the U.S. presidential election, Republican Donald Trump has softened his rhetoric, sparking questions about whether he will fulfill his campaign promises. He also has praised his Democratic opponent, Hillary Clinton, and her husband, former President Bill Clinton, as well as President Barack Obama. The president-elect answered some of these questions in an interview with the CBS television network aired Sunday. Zlatika Hoax reports.
Trump's unexpected victory has sparked protests in major American cities, and more are planned for January to coincide with his inauguration day.
What I think a protest like this can do is send a message to others in the country who are upset with this new president and also internationally that Americans don't support his racist, sexist agenda.
Trump hastened to point out that his former political opponents have offered their support. In an interview for the CBS TV program 60 Minutes, he described the Clintons as a talented family whom he would consider asking for advice. He reaffirmed his intention to erect a wall along the border with Mexico, but conceded that in certain areas it would only be a fence.
Certain areas the wall is more appropriate. I'm very good at this. It's called construction.
Republicans in Congress have made it clear they're not assembling a force to deport an estimated 11 million undocumented immigrants, as Trump has promised to do. In the 60 Minutes interview, he insisted that some of them will be deported.
What we are going to do is get the people that are criminal and have criminal records, gang members, drug dealers. We have a lot of these people, probably 2 million, it could even be 3 million. We're getting them out of our country or we're going to incarcerate. But we're getting them out of our country. They're here illegally. After the border is secured and after everything gets normalized, we're going to make a determination on the people that you're talking about, who are terrific people.
Former presidential candidate Senator Bernie Sanders said Democrats must start a grassroots movement to fight for what is right.
There is no rational reason why we pay the highest prices in the world for prescription drugs. No rational reason why we are the only major nation on earth that doesn't guarantee health care to all people.
Trump said he would repeal President Obama's signature health care program, but replace it simultaneously with another one that retains some of the provisions from so-called Obamacare. Zlatica Hoke, VOA News, Washington.
U.S. President Barack Obama leaves today on the final planned foreign trip of his presidency. His advisors expect that President-elect Donald Trump will be the main topic of discussion with other leaders. Deputy National Security Advisor Ben Rhodes says the itinerary, with stops in Greece, Germany, and Peru, is a signal of solidarity to close U.S. allies. The only major planned speech is in Greece on Wednesday. Mr. Obama will address economic challenges there and elsewhere in the world while promoting inclusive growth and combating inequality. Donald Trump has repeatedly spoken out against international agreements reached during Obama's presidency. These include the deal to limit Iran's nuclear program, the International Climate Agreement, and the Trans-Pacific Partnership trade deal that has not cleared the U.S. Congress.
The head of Zimbabwe's army says the military has no role to play in who will succeed Robert Mugabe as the next president. Reuters reports Lieutenant General Valerio Sibanda told the state-owned Sunday Mail newspaper that the military should not be involved. Mr. Mugabe will be 93 years old in February, and reports say he is looking frail. Local media say various groups within the ruling ZANU-PF party are scrambling to find a possible successor. They say some top military generals are involved.
The most comprehensive gathering of high-level experts in African agricultural adaptation aimed to implement an ambitious new initiative at the COP22 in Marrakesh, Morocco. The plan promises to deliver food security to 230 million people still suffering from chronic hunger in Africa. Mohamed Badrawi is deputy director of the general of the National Institute of Agronomical Research, Morocco, and one of the strategists for the Adaptation of African Agriculture Initiative. He spoke with me about why the initiative is so important to the future of Africa's food security.
We did studies before, and also we have some experience. The experience of Morocco in transforming agriculture, we think it's an interesting experience, starting the launching of the Green Morocco Plan, which is the strategy of agricultural transformation in Morocco, started in 2008. And from 2008 to 2016, we saw a lot of progress and development of agriculture in Morocco. And we thought this experience would be shared with many African countries because we have a lot of similar situations. And the pillars of the Green Morocco Plan, which is a very pragmatic one, would be of interest to countries. This is the first reason. The second reason is, from our understanding, Africa and African agriculture has a lot of potential. African agriculture can really be a solution for climate change. not a problem. If you take Africa as a whole, its contribution to green gas emission is really very low, less than 5%. And yet, Africa is hit by climate change very seriously. So African countries engage themselves in their initiatives to reduce gas emission. The responsibility and what they want to have is to get benefit from the climate finance with respect to adaptation, which is the most important issue in Africa today, is the adaptation to climate change, especially the adaptation of agriculture in African countries.
How is this going to help African countries? You say this initiative is really going to benefit Africa. In what ways will it benefit Africa?
In two ways. The first, the AAA will work on the negotiation pillar. AAA will advocate for more financing for agricultural development and adaptation of agriculture to climate change. This is the first pillar of it. The second pillar is African countries may benefit from solutions. And we are proposing solutions that are working elsewhere, and that could be very beneficial for many countries, especially relating to soil management, soil fertility, tree plantations, agroforestry, carbon sequestration, and agroecology. You know, in Africa, only 5% of the arable land is irrigated, and we have an ambition to go to 25%. And there is a potential to go there, but it needs a lot of capacity. And the third one is the climate risk management. We would like also to roll out agricultural insurance and develop tools for early warning systems. And the last one, not the least, is the capacity building for funding smallholder farmers. How smallholder farmers would get funding to adapt themselves to climate change, especially the technology transfer and capacity building. This is how we see it as a global approach based on projects, feasible projects, bankable projects. Now, we are not going to talk. We are going to prepare good projects, and these projects should be implemented. And we are seeking for resources, especially as grants from the climate finance to help the African countries reinforce their capacities and adapt to climate change.
When will you be able to implement these projects?
The implementation is started already in a bilateral agreement between Morocco and many African countries, but we are building on this experience to help countries in Africa preparing good projects and helping them prepare the projects and show them how to go, how to prepare these projects for climate finance. And we will be happy to continue for helping them in the implementation and in monitoring and evaluation of the projects. What we want is to help the countries to get good projects and the money for their projects, and we will help them to go and implement good projects on adaptation to climate change of their agriculture.
What is your expectation from this climate convention in Morocco?
It will be a very important event, especially for adaptation to climate change, focused on African countries, and it would be an implementation of the decision taken during COP21 in Paris. This is our ambition, and we are focusing our AAA initiative on the adaptation to climate change of agriculture. There are many different African countries that are already enrolling under AAA. We have until now about 28 countries already enrolling and supporting AAA, but also most of the international institutions, even the private sector, some of them are very interested with AAA approach, and this initiative will really do a lot of good things for the African countries.
Mohamed Badrawi is Deputy Director General of the National Institute of Agronomical Research, Morocco, and one of the strategists for the Adaptation of African Agriculture Initiative. He spoke with me from Rabat, Morocco.
Past the hour, you were listening to African News Tonight on The Voice of America. There have been violent confrontations in Cameroon between police and striking lawyers this past week. Cameroon has two official languages, English and French, but more than 1,000 lawyers in English-speaking parts of the country are refusing to work. They want the government to address what they say is the overbearing use of French in the justice system. Moki Edwin Kenzeka has the story from Bamenda, Cameroon.
Cameroon's English-speaking lawyers are upset that police used tear gas and force to stop them from carrying out a peaceful march along the streets of Bamenda, capital of the Northwest region. It has been the same story for protests by lawyers in several other towns. Attorney Harmony Bogda, one of the organizers of the protest, says they want all French-speaking judges who do not understand English to be transferred out of the English-speaking regions of Cameroon. Bogda says justice cannot be rendered when judges, magistrates and lawyers cannot communicate.
We are gentlemen, we are peaceful, and we have never meant any violence. It is now more than a month that we have been on strike after having notified the government about our dissatisfaction with the erosion of the common law.
But the government says it cannot discriminate based on language when assigning civil servants to their posts. Most Anglophone lawyers also speak French, but not vice versa. About one in five Cameroonians speak English. It is a holdover from when the Southwest and Northwest were under British colonial rule. Cameroon also recognizes two legal systems, one based on French civil law and the other English common law. But the striking lawyers say a set of regional laws in French, known as OHADA, is changing the balance. The OHADA Treaty was signed two decades ago by Cameroon and 16 other Francophone African nations to encourage investment in the region by harmonizing business law and implementation. The government says a commission is working on translating OHADA into English. State media report that the government has contacted the lawyers on strike and asked them to be patient. But the lawyers have broader demands, says international law scholar Ashu Nyente.
They have called for the creation of a separate chamber for common law at the Supreme Court of the country. Since independence in 1960, that court has had only French-speaking chief justices, even though the country is bilingual. They are also asking for the creation of a separate section for common law in the national institution that trains magistrates and judges in the country. The curricula of that school are essentially modeled in the French civil law system, and so the lawyers see that as a problem.
The lawyers' strike is not an isolated incident. Some in Cameroon worry that French is gradually eclipsing English in public life. The country's constitution states that the two official languages should be given the same consideration, but in practice, many official documents are only in French, prompting both written complaints from Anglophone journalists and work out by English-speaking lawmakers. English-speaking teachers have vowed to hold another strike beginning Friday. Moki Edwin Kinzeka for VOA News, Bamenda, Cameroon.
Well, have you ever fancied owning world-famous South African landmarks like Table Mountain, the Kruger Game Park, and Robben Island, where former President Nelson Mandela was imprisoned? Well, players of the internationally popular Monopoly board game can now achieve that. The American toy company that manufactures the game, Hasbro, recently released Monopoly Mzansi. Mzansi is a Hausa word meaning South Africa. It's the first version of the game to fully represent modern-day democratic South Africa. Darren Taylor in Johannesburg reports.
Right, you roll the dice.
South Africans have been playing Monopoly since the early 1960s. Hasbro launched the board game in the United States in 1903. Millions around the world still enjoy it. Players roll dice, move along the board, and get to buy various properties. The player who builds the most wealth wins. The losers go bankrupt through injudicious purchases and high rentals when landing on a place owned by a rival. In South Africa, older versions of the game reflected a racially segregated country, including apartheid-era streets and landmarks. Hasbro's local marketing manager, Sipiwe Tabete, says the Mzansi edition of Monopoly represents modern South Africa. Places for sale on the board now include Johannesburg's Maboneng precinct, where trendy stores sell African fashion and music.
The key new ones are Maboneng, the inclusion of Maboneng, Vilakazi Street in Soweto. So it's really, really a mixture of what is new and, you know, what's bubbling in South Africa right now. My favorite location, I'll have to say, Vilakazi Street, with the history that comes with that, you know, Nelson Mandela and
Desmond Tutu as well.
Yes, yes, definitely. We are a great country. We've got lots of attractions. So we're really, really a tourist destination as well. So it's about celebrating what's proudly South African.
Tabete is also excited about the inclusion on the monopoly board of Johannesburg's O.R. Tambo Airport. Most tourists' first experience of South Africa. Another property for sale is in Johannesburg's Parkhurst suburb, 4th Avenue, a strip of restaurants, boutiques and bars. Pub owner Jack Busichem says 4th Avenue deserves its place in the latest Monopoly variant because it's one of South Africa's best entertainment venues.
You've got a whole variety of things, from sushi to a steakhouse to craft beers. People want that homely thing, that village feel, where you can come in and you know your car's safe, you're safe. I think it's fantastic that they actually thought about us and put us on the board.
An oinking, tail-wagging pig and a wide-eyed plastic soldier beating a drum compete for children's attention as they race into a toy store in Johannesburg. But their father's here to buy Monopoly Mzansi.
Listen, thank you. Is this a gift? Oh, this is amazing. Is this the new Monopoly? I've actually heard a lot about it. Let me get it for you. Thank you very much.
The store's in Sandton Square, a shopping space dominated by a huge statue of Nelson Mandela and also a feature on the new Monopoly board. Hamley's toy store manager Bridget Green says customers are thrilled to finally have a version of Monopoly to which they feel connected.
It's been moving really nicely. Also, I think the fact that it's Mzansi, so it's obviously South African based, which makes it quite a puller. Everybody's enjoying it and it's been a great success.
From the Botanical Gardens in Cape Town to Durban's Golden Mile and game parks filled with lions and elephants, they're all up for grabs when playing Monopoly Mzansi, if you have the millions of fake rands required. But beware, landing on Table Mountain, if it's owned by a rival player, could just as easily bankrupt you. Darren Taylor for VOA News, Johannesburg.
And that wraps up this edition of Africa News Tonight. I'm Yehi Suhib in Washington.
And I'm Kim Lewis. And for all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Please stay tuned to the Sunny Side of Sports coming up at 18:30 UTC. On behalf of our producer, Bill Workinger, and our engineer, Wagner Roberts, thanks for choosing the Voice of America.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, we'll examine Beyond the Storm, treating the powerless and the powerful in Mobutu's Congo Zaire, a book written by Dr. William Close and Dr. Matudila Malonga, a Congolese physician who co-discovered Ebola in 1976. We'll also discuss the latest developments in the Democratic Republic of Congo on the next Straight Talk Africa at 18:30 UTC.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.
VOAAfrica.com.
On VOAAfrica.com,
The news updates never stop. Our primary goal is to keep you informed.
VOAAfrica.com, your trusted source for news and information.